Welcome to the Two Out of Tacos podcast. I am your host, Maz. With me, my partner in crime, my sister from another mother.
Hey, yo, what is good? My peeps, our odd community. What is up? Zeffy here.
I hope you guys have had a tremendous couple of days, weeks. Since the last episode, I hope you enjoyed our reaction of Scott Pilgrim, and it's doing phenomenal. This is our first reaction video, and we are so happy if we released it and enjoyed it. And we hope to do plenty of others in the near future. And I hope you catch the previous episodes. We did a lot of takes of our, opinions of the summer blockbusters and future movies of the year. I hope you tune in. Take a look at that. But this week, enough of that. This week, we are going to talk about, Zeph has been dying to talk about this. This is going to be very, very passionate episode for her. And it is going to be character writing for female characters in video games. Something she has brought, has said it numerous times off camera. Got to mention that. And she wanted to bring it on the podcast. I said, it was a fucking great idea. Why not? So we'll be talking about this and this episode. And also, we are introducing our brand new session. Our segment. We wanted to bring it on the podcast. Something a little different, kind of spice it up for each episode. Keep you guys entertained. And it is called I Have, You Haven't, which will be bringing certain topics or games and anime that I or Zeph have not seen before and the other has. And we'll just, kind of ask some questions and see if you guys, or is it even worth, checking out. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. So, we're going to start with our segment, baby.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
You haven't. So, Seth.
Maz, well, tell them what the I Have, You Haven't is about today.
So, today's I Have, You Haven't is about Star Wars Jedi Survivor, my fellow Force-sensitive people.
And it makes sense because during this recording, it's the week, I believe, Ahsoka released.
Ahsoka's dropped, yes. So if you have not seen Ahsoka, I've seen the first two episodes, definitely give it a watch. Very, very, very fun show. If you've not seen Rebels, do not worry. It is still watchable without having to watch Rebels. So be sure to check that out. I have personally played a game. I have played Fallen Order. Seth has played both games, and Zeph, we're going to ask you some questions. So tell me a little bit about Jedi Survivor. For the folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about it.
So for the people who have played Fallen Order, it is a sequel to that.
Jedi Survivor?
Yeah, Jedi Survivor. It's a sequel to Fallen Order.
Pretend you didn't see it. Pretend you didn't hear that.
What was that?
Yeah. And so it basically starts off, I don't know if any of you have seen, I believe it was Rogue One with Saul Guerrera. So he's actually Cal is working with Saul Guerrera. They're basically trying to find like other Jedi and stuff like that. Obviously surviving because as it's called Jedi Survivor, with the Order 66 and everything happening. And I'm just trying not to spoil it.
Minor spoilers. I haven't played it, but I know this is coming. But for folks who haven't, there is minor spoilers. Just a heads up.
Oh, yeah. For those who haven't played Fallen Order, you have, because this is where I'm going to get into the spoiler territory, because you fight Vader again in Jedi Survivor, but you're not expecting to play the character that you fight against him. It was, let me tell you, it was a very, very, very epic moment. I cried. It was very well done. But besides that, the whole thing is that, you know how in Fallen Order, how he has kind of his group, which was the sorceress, the other Jedi Master, forget her name, and then the guy with like the four arms. And
the pilot?
Yeah. Yeah, I love him. So they actually disband.
Okay.
And because in the beginning of the game, you're like, oh, wow, he's with these other people with Saw Gerrera. So you're automatically assuming, oh, like they're still team.
I know there was a novel that was supposed to tie it in. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it, but I do know it was supposed to fill in the little gap. So I'm assuming that's probably where you'll, if you want more details on it, that's where you'll find it.
So basically the whole thing is that Cal is obsessed with basically stopping the Empire. Obviously that's goal number one. Stopping the Empire, finding more Jedi, more survivors, hence Jedi Survivor.
Right.
And yeah, basically just surviving, trying to get an edge on the Empire and trying to rebuild the Order. So that's like basically the whole point, kind of continuing from Fallen Order. But he is like, Cal is obsessed, and you could say it's a bad thing, you could say it's a good thing, but he is overly obsessed to the point where he can basically lose his life because he's just being stupid, because he's like tunnel visioning. And so all his friends are telling him, hey, like, you have to relax,
chill out.
And there's even at some point where I kind of take a step back, I go, oh,
and I, oh,
they go, you know, there's that big question. It's a big question in Star Wars, I think, because you know how everyone tries to rise. It's the whole thing of the rebels and the Empire and that the rebels will win, even though the odds are against them. And they always bring this question to him and they go, why do you do this? Is it worth doing it? Why don't we all just hide? And why don't we just keep hiding forever? And so his rebuttal is always, you know, there always has to be hope. There, you know, we should be living in a world where we don't have to live in fear and have the Empire over our heads. He doesn't want the children to be raised like that. So it's this whole internal battle. Like, I like that conflict with him and his friends, because they're literally telling him, dude, is it so bad to just give up and just kind of have the Empire around and just follow the rules? And, you know, Cal is very much, no, there is a life without the Empire. And we can beat them. Like, I know there's hope, and I know there's a will, and oh my God, it's just, that's one of the things. So long story short, it gets to a point where there was a planet and the Jedis knew of this planet. It was a planet, like, to get to this planet was so dangerous. Like 99% of people, it goes through like this weird, like, tunnel space warp hole thing.
Okay.
And it would break the ships apart. So it's like no one knows where it is. And even if you knew where it is, you need to know how to navigate in it, or you're crushed, like you're dead. So the whole point is to get to this planet, because that's where the question spurs again. Is it bad if we run away and just kind of sort of give up? Like, we just go on with our lives on another planet and just forget about the Empire? And so that question is on Cal's mind for a while in the beginning of the game. And then when you find out about this planet, he's like, oh my God, this is like, we can all just escape, and we could even build the Order with like basically take people from other planets and kind of save them from the Empire and put them in this planet, and we can all live in peace. That's the spoiler-ish sort of plot.
So you mentioned, who was the one that said that in the end, when they reached the planet, you said that someone came up with the, like, hey, it comes into like the conflict of morale, I guess, or moral, like, values and like views. And was it Cal who decides to change his mind and be like, hey,
oh yeah,
I see what you guys are saying now.
So there's a new character. He's actually a bounty hunter. His name's Bode. And he sort of is, well, in this game, he's like almost like Cal's best friend. They're buddies. Like, they fight together. They've done a couple missions for Saw Gerrera together.
Okay.
And what really kind of gives Cal the idea is Bode. It's kind of Bode and Greaves, the guy with the four arms.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of both say, oh, well, that doesn't seem like a bad idea. But the one who really talks about, oh, like, we should just go to that planet is Bode. And Bode, the new, he's a new character. He has a daughter. And so he does the bounty hunting and all that crap to get money for his daughter. Or at least that's what we're told, because as the events unfold, there's more to it. But he's the one that pushes Cal. Hey, you know, it's not running away. Like, he kind of they all interpret it as, oh my God, we can live in peace and just fuck off. While Cal is, oh my God, we can rebuild the Jedi Order here. This is amazing. And blah, blah, blah. So he's,
if you book them, they will come.
Like, he's the one thinking, like, in the future, like, yeah, hey, we can fight back,
yeah,
and
yeah,
we can rebuild. And everyone else is like, nah, fuck this. I'm gonna
exactly. He sees it as not only protect, he's able to protect the people that he loves better because they're on another planet, mm-hmm, but he's still not gonna give up. And that's why I think I had mentioned it to you that I love Anakin Skywalker. For people who don't know, I'm not a huge Star Wars junkie. I've read a little bit, I've watched the shows, I've seen pretty much all the movies, but Anakin is my boo-boo. Like, he's my favorite Jedi, and then obviously he's my also one of my favorite Sith characters, because my two favorite Sith are Darth Maul and then Darth Vader, obviously. And then I like Ahsoka, but Anakin is right here.
Yeah, he's like top three.
But after playing this game, and I have posted about it on Instagram, I go, Cal Kestis is my favorite Jedi. And I know a lot of people kind of look at the who?
Who? No. They did a really, like, being honest, as a Star Wars fan, I'm not saying, like, I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan. I'm not.
Exactly.
I've been seeing Star Wars since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's runs deep. That's not mine, by the way. That's my roommate's. If you're like, hey, but he has, no, it's not mine, trust me. Again, I am just a casual semi,
well, I would say I'm casual
semi, yeah. Star Wars, like, hardcore, I mean, Star Wars fan. But they did a very well job of just writing Cal, referencing, like, him. The first, yeah, game, going all the way there to, like, the very core of the, like, first mission.
And he's very, they write, his writing is so, he's constantly changing in a good way. He's constantly being tested and constantly just developing. He develops into such an even spoiler, but you know, when we play Fallen Order, you've seen it. We don't really dabble with the dark side.
See hits and obviously we see hints here and there.
Oh man.
For our audio listeners, she's
a big Anakin, really? Almost shift where he obviously, or people who have seen Star Wars or know of Star Wars, how the Jedi should show no emotion. Emotion is completely cut off. He lets the emotion ride.
Wow.
Because something happens to someone, and he lets those emotions just,
wild.
Oh, and he's so scary. And so, like, there's a scene. It's not a scene. Well, you actually play the scene. It's, you're in this Imperial fortress thing. And it's, and I mean, a sea of stormtroopers and Imperial soldiers or whatever. And they're shooting at you. Bro, the screen, because that's how you know he's using, like, the dark side. It's, like, red and black, and it gets distorted.
But they use colors.
Bro, oh, and nice. The stronger enemies that, you know, you need to actually bash a couple times, bro, yeah, he just bows them, like, one hit, brah, 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 and you're mowing, and the way that he moves is, it's almost sporadic and angry and just violent. It's so raw.
You're making me want to play this game, god damn it. We're just waiting. Just have my hands full of other stuff.
Dude,
it's... Wow!
And I saw that, and you know, you could argue, oh, but that's meant for gameplay, blah, blah. I'm thinking to myself, bro, if he they
thought that through,
like Darth Vader, he would, dude, he would be ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's perfect segment for my next question then. Is this a true Star Wars game like the first one?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Dude, okay.
Definitely, because the planet, I would say, maybe I might have to replay Fallen Order, but Fallen Order had more planets, but the planets
in, if I remember, game, yes.
Dude, they're huge.
And so small, it's like what they did with Kingdom Hearts 3, less planets, but more way to explore.
Exactly. Okay, all right. Okay. Exactly like that.
Cool.
And it's a lot of, you actually collect, or you meet a lot of characters in these different planets that, because there's a saloon owned one of the other characters. Good. And then each person that you meet, they all fix up the saloon, and it depends on.
Almost like a cantina thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, nice. All right.
And
that's freaking awesome.
You get a DJ. You find a pair of, it's like a droid and this other lady.
Yeah.
You find them. They play music in the.
One Piece over here, like, ooh, we need a musician now.
Yeah, you get, there's like a huge fish tank, but it's like mossy and green, and there's no life, no fish. Damn. You find a fisherman, and he'll clean up the tank and put more fish. You find a bounty hunter. The bounty hunter gives you bounties, and that also gives
that's more dope. Upgrades. What?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got customizations. All right, that's dope for people who like little house building here and there. All right.
You mentioned customization. There's a lot of new stances. There's like, you can have a pistol and the lightsaber. You have the cross guard stance.
Oh, yes, a pistol now. What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So also another great segue then. Since it's such a large game, and the way you're explaining that it has a lot of customizations, you're bound to run into a glitch or tech issue here and there. I'm assuming from your reaction for our audio listeners.
Oh my god.
Was there a lot? Because I heard and read there was a lot.
Dude, so
compared to the first game.
And
now, people, would that turn off some people? Obviously, there's been some time since the release, so maybe it gotten a little better. But with your time with it, like, what do you think?
So, you know when there's a broken game that you just say, I'm just going to finish it.
Can we just end it now?
Because I'm the type of person, when I start something, I'm just going to finish it. Yeah. It wasn't like that. It what really drove me to finish it is definitely the story.
Okay.
The story is what pulls you. But I would say it should be optimized now, because I know PC, unfortunately, had a lot of issues. But man, I play this on console, and I saw a lot of issues. There will be times I'm in the middle of combat, and like the camera would just like, and I was playing on not normal. I was playing, I think, on like the not the hardest difficulty, but the one like after the second. That.
Yeah, okay.
Bro. Oh my god, I would rage. I would actually rage. In this game, sometimes I'm climbing, or I would walk, and the things would phase out, enemies would glitch. I for sure, because you know when you're mad, you go, oh, I did that, and it's
bullshit. Yeah, like,
dude, I would input commands, and I would just get fucked and just.
So, you think that would push some people away?
Probably, because this game. It's very just like Fallen Order, especially if you increase like the difficulty.
Is it very Souls-like stuff?
It's very Souls-like, you know, the whole when you meditate, everything, resets essentially.
Okay.
If you're not used to those type of games, even if you like Star Wars, you might like, if you're very casual and you don't like difficulty spikes, you just want to cruise. If you try to play on the hardest difficulty, you're going to get very frustrated.
Does it have a difficulty for, like, if you're just a casual player?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because more games are doing that more often now. That's, like, normally the go-to for at least an option.
Yeah.
Do you see them, since you finished the game, you enjoyed it, do you see them continuing it to possibly a third one. Okay. I see the light bulb in you. Lightsaber.
Yeah. It's such a man, edit a lightsaber or something around. That's a very difficult question because the ending of the game, if you wanted to, you could end the story right there.
Although, so they leave it open ending.
Yes, although me, because I'm a huge fan of the characters and I'm a huge fan of this series that they have, I think if they did a trilogy, it would be perfect. If they want to end it here, it's not amazing, but I can see, okay, fine, you could end it here. Like, it's okay.
Okay, okay. Now, will you say there's a character that stands out in the game? There's one that, like, damn right, this game, you think of that character, you're like, fuck, this makes me want to replay the game.
Cal.
Cal? Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. You heard it here, folks. We got a Cal stand.
Yeah, take her down. I stand.
We're Team Cal here, damn it.
Yeah.
Now, last two questions. Or haven't? Would you recommend the game to? Does it have to be a Star Wars fan? You recommend this game to anyone? Would you? And how many lightsabers would you recommend it? I mean, sorry. Oh, you rate it? How many lightsabers?
How many lightsabers?
Out of five. How many lightsabers will you give this game?
As a solid action, I would even say, because it has RPG elements, because you can really heavily customize Cal too. That was another thing I forgot to add. You could put 5 o'clock shadow, goatee, mohawk. You can completely change his look. Obviously, the upgrades and all that. It has very heavy RPG elements.
Okay.
So that's why I also like it. You know, even if I'm a casual Star Wars fan. So I feel even if you don't like Star Wars, it helps to know a little bit about.
At least some basic knowledge of it.
Yeah. Because you'll just be sitting there, okay, it's just another alien. Or, you know, there was some races that I'd be like, oh my God, I know what that is. Or they would mention certain terms or planets and I go, oh my God, I know what that is.
So like they basically reward you for knowing at least some of the lore and the movies and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
I recommend this to any, for sure, if you're a Star Wars fan, you have to play Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. Like, please, if you haven't, I would play it. And even if you don't like Star Wars, I think if you look past the bugs, which I hope at this point, if I were to play it again, I don't have that issue.
Yeah, like they already done some patches over the past couple of months now.
I love the game, but that was even near the end. Like, thank God the final boss fight, it didn't piss me off with the glitches or whatever, like nothing really happened. But leading up to there was a lot of points where I go, oh, the game's going to end. Oh. Kind of how we were talking about Spider-Verse. Oh, it's going to end. Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, it's going to end. Oh, no. But leading up to it, it's just issue. And so there was a point where I go, okay, there was part of me that wanted to finish the game because I was just so sick of all the technical glitches. But then part of me didn't want to finish because I was still enjoying it, even with getting raging and getting mad.
All right. So, how many lightsabers would you give this game?
Out of five. I'd say a solid 4. 4.2, maybe.
Right, you heard it, folks. He rates Jedi Survivor 4 out of 5 lightsabers.
I'd rate it higher. It's just those bugs, man. Those bugs. Oh my God. It was very frustrating.
So you heard it, folks. This was our first I Have You Haven't. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We want to do plenty more for future episodes.
Maz, we'll do one for you, something that I haven't, but you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
we'll try to take turns as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any suggestions, feel free to leave it in the comment, you know, Check us out on social media.
Oh yes, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, obviously on YouTube, all podcast platforms. And please tell us in the comments what you thought of Jedi Survivor. Do you agree what I said?
Yep.
Do you disagree? Let me know what you think, because I actually want to. I've been wanting to talk about this with someone for a while. We had this, and also, and I mentioned it that this kind of ties in with what we're talking about, because I absolutely love the female lead in this series. So
if you definitely click that little bell if you want more Star Wars, you know, stuff from us. But moving on,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
To our main event of the episode, you said it perfectly. We're going to be talking about character writing for female characters in video games. All right, Zeph, take it away, baby. This is your show.
Okay. Oh, I'm actually kind of nervous. So, what caused me to kind of make this episode about what we're about to talk about? And I feel, or I assume, that we aren't the only people that talk about this topic.
I've read a couple of articles sporadically, obviously, throughout the years.
In the video game industry.
In the video game industry, I think this is a very, I want to say, like, crazy topic or out of this world topic, but it's a very important topic. I do see it pop out every so often. And I would even go as far as saying, like, every couple of months. I wrote a paper for a class. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying and why I'm bringing this up is, mm-hmm, I did bring up one of the things we're going to bring up in the episode in my paper.
I didn't know that. I think I know what you were talking about. I didn't know you. Wow.
I did bring one of the topics, and I won't say it because I kind of want to leave it as so people can enjoy the show. It is a very important topic. I think it should be talked about more often.
Oh.
And when you brought it up to the table that this is a big thing, and we can use a perfect example later on the show that happened not too long ago, probably 2 years ago on a big game, and we know what we're talking about. Yeah. Your face says it all, because you know which one I'm talking about. It's a very important topic. It should be talked about more often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let me give some backstory as to why. Well, you already know I've been wanting to talk about this ever since we started the podcast. But I don't remember the person who posted it. And I'm going to look straight at the camera because I've been waiting for Twitter to unsuspend my Twitter. I don't know why. I changed my picture. So
fix it, damn it.
Fix it, please. But because I had it saved, I actually had it bookmarked because I did want to reference. And hopefully, maybe by the time you finish editing this, mm-hmm, maybe we can get a snippet. I could screenshot it.
Reference it somewhere.
Yeah, because my God, I got so mad. For those who don't know, and I've said it a million times, I love Final Fantasy, and that is my favorite series of all time. And at the time, because I have since completed the game, me and my fiance got to a very emotional and pivotal part of the game that it's based off of the main female lead. Her name is Ajo Warwick, so she's one of the main characters of Final Fantasy 16. She is the dominant for Shiva, and there's this whole arc where you kind of get hinted, I'm not gonna spoil it, but you kind of get hinted, because I think you're playing it.
Not yet.
Okay.
Soon.
So you kind of get hinted that obviously something happens, there's a time skip, multiple time skips, but when you later encounter Jill again, she's in questionable attire and nothing sexy or anything. It's just she's a slave. That's all I'm going to say. She is a woman. In the Japanese subtitles of the scene that I'm talking about, that it's that that peak for the character, it is implied that she is actually sexually assaulted and beaten and just like every single evil thing you can think of that.
Evil.
Unfortunately, I'm not gonna pin it only on one gender, but what a man can do to a woman and blackmailing a woman so her fellow women also don't get beaten. It's very heavy. It's very heavy.
Jesus fuck, Yoshi.
Yeah, it's
I don't mean a dinosaur for people watching. Yoshi is the creative director of the game.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Who is the, he works on Final Fantasy 14, the MMO. Yeah. And yeah. So he's very loved in the community, the MMO community and Final Fantasy in general, but it's very heavy. And it's so leading off to what I'm about to say.
I can see why he said it was going to get dark.
Yeah. God, it's very sad. And in the Japanese translation, I can't remember if, because it's assumed that it happens to her, but it happens to the women around her. And so she almost offers herself to save the other women, because there's women that are children, they're teenagers, they're adults. So there's very varying age ranges in the group that they're in, because this, long story short, it's like this cult weird place kingdom people. They're barbarians, basically. They're just tearing shit up. They're just awful. And so they're very, very, very primal and very the hierarchy with men and this and that. And long story short, it's a very male dominant kingdom. And so they're basically animalistic. They eat, they fuck, and they pillage. So that's literally what that kingdom is and what they're about. And they have men here and then women here. So what I'm getting at is that when I was in, I actually had passed that scene where, again, it peaks for the character. And this is her time to shine. This is the character's moment. And through the game, as you're leading up to that moment, yeah, you know, there's moments with Jill that you know she's a badass, like she's powerful. You want to be her, like she's just so cool and but like she's so powerful and yet so feminine. And I think that's what made me fall in love with Jill, because most of the women that I do love, and this is where the conversation we're going to lead into, is either in video games, they're either very manly, or they just make them so feminine,
like overly sexualized.
Yeah, overly sexualized, yeah. Or just too girly, where mm-hmm. they put them so feminine that, dude, like Princess Peach is an example. When Princess Peach, when we were growing up, she was just getting saved. Now they try to make Peach more.
That's exactly what I wrote on my paper.
Yeah, that's
the damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. I get it. That was the thing back in the Hisa days. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the modern age now. 21st century, man. Like, year 2023. Mm-hmm. I think the damsel in distress kind of trope is kind of dead in the water.
Very overused.
Overrated now. Don't get me wrong. Is it okay to use it once in a blue moon?
Yeah.
By all means. I'm not saying eliminate it completely. No, don't do that. Like, no. But it's not like, I feel like, and maybe you do too, but I feel like they use that like to advance a certain plot. I feel like, and don't get me wrong, this is not only video games. Mm-hmm. This can happen in movies. We've seen it.
Anime.
This happens in anime. Like, I'm not isolating video games in this whole grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But I feel like you shouldn't be needing that as much anymore nowadays to advance a plot.
And this is because you say plot and was going to get into that, but that's literally the spectrum. They're either making them for whatever reason very manly or overly sexualized. And then if they're feminine, they can't do a damn thing. And it's just so weird because with Jill, I don't know if you've seen, maybe you could put her character, like her character. Yeah, I'll put a picture. Here. If you look at it, she's covered from head to toe. She got titty, but she's not exposed at all. Like nothing is exposed. And she's her style of play is, you know, fencing. So she's how she fights is very regal, very elegant, very feminine. And yet she's so fucking strong, like emotionally and just physically. Obviously, you can, you know, oh, well, she has these powers of yeah, okay, but she's just so strong. And they didn't over sexualize her, they didn't make her super manly, they made her feminine yet very, very strong. And so the tweet was a retweet of another tweet, and the person that was basically going apeshit about this character said that. And they had finished the game, and that's where I just couldn't understand, because they were basically telling people on the internet, oh, that this character is trash. There's no writing here. There's no development. And she's so fucking useless. And why is she even in the game? And so the retweet is basically saying this is literally. And again, I don't want to oppose it on one gender, but this is a man ranting. That the woman is useless, that the character is useless. And so, like, the retweet was along the lines of, oh, this is how women in video games are treated. If you over-sexualize them, you know, they're all like, oh, my God, they're so hot. And they could be dumb as rocks. And they'll just be like, oh, my God. But, like, look how half-naked she is. But then you'll also get the people who are like, oh, but she's, you can't do that. That's too over-sexualized. And then you cover them up and they're like, oh my gosh, she's so boring. She doesn't do anything. And there's all this buildup and development. And so they go, oh, but she's not half naked though. But then when you put them half naked, they're still complaining. And so it's the person was saying, like, men just don't. You give them over sexualization and they love it. And then when you give them a woman that's clothed and actually developed.
Wait, what were we doing again? We were throwing rocks at cars.
They hate it. So that's like,
yeah, the like whole. They can't find like a middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like either they're too casual about it or they're fucking overly mm-hmm. in the extreme. But
if they're half naked, they're useless. If they're clothed, no. If they're half naked, they're useful. If they're clothed, they're useless. And it's and unfortunately, I hate using it as an example because I love her to death. But Tifa Lockhart is such a huge example of the skimpiness. And I'm going to put Lara Croft in here too, because and obviously they're portrayed as two badass women. You know, Tifa's not dumb as rocks. She's emotional. She's a woman. She's very in tune with her feelings, especially if you play the original. Yes, there's no voice acting, but when you read the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
You really. I don't know. I just, my God, it hit me. Like she's such an emotional woman, but she's so fucking strong. But what, obviously when you see the design, you're like, oh, and then I don't want to bring up when you search up Tifa Lockhart, the amount
of
over-sexualization it's so oversaturated. It's insane. And then I'm going to bring Lara Croft into here. Yeah, because Lara Croft, same thing, badass woman. We've had obviously live action movies because of Angelina Jolie and stuff like that, and then the reboot, whatever, the newest live action. But again, we're only focusing on video games here. But
yeah, even the rebooted Tomb Raider ones, mm-hmm, they're great. Yeah, and mm-hmm. He's now wearing her classic Skippy outfit.
And I even saw complaints about that she's, oh, why are you clothing her up? And it's like, they, you know, these women are strong and they don't need to be so skimpy. And don't get me wrong. I am bisexual. I love a good titty. I love a good curvy woman, but it just seems that.
Where the bitches at? Where the bitches at?
Hey, where the bitches at? It's supposed to be titties. Where the fucking titties and the bitches?
And it's, yeah.
It's a movie reference. Don't kill me. God. I hear my door banging like in 2 seconds.
Olga,
get him!
Open up!
Get him!
And you know, it's you see their designs, both of them. You know, the skimpy shorts, the tank top, like you know, the size D, E, whatever the hell they are.
I'm gonna show my age right now. Referring to the skimpy outfit of Laura, like in the first Tomb Raider when it came out back in the day, like in PlayStation 1, what were people doing? I'm literally gonna show my age right now. They were modding her to give her huge tits and sometimes even like make her shirtless and like run around shirtless.
Yes,
like,
yes. Oh my god, I remember that.
So come on. What do you want? Like, you either want a strong female lead, but you want her dressed in like shit. Like, hey, just fucking clothes. Relax, bro.
It's funny because, well, actually, I'm gonna put a pin in that. You can. What you were saying.
So, but bringing up like the skimpy outfits and stuff, Street Fighter. This is where I wanted to bring up Street Fighter.
Like Cammy.
Cammy, Chun-Li, like, Cammy was famous for wearing the leotard for like half a fucking decade or two.
She got nothing.
Look at her now. Mm-hmm. She's wearing just tights and a vest with a tank top, bro. She's still a badass. She's still kicking ass. And her character design is awesome. Chun-Li, she's not wearing tights anymore. She's now got her like nice Kung Fu Chinese outfit for like martial arts. It looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need, like you said, you don't need these skimpy outfits to basically show, like, hey, she's sexy, but also strong. Bro, you can wear regular clothes and still be a badass. Yeah. And I'm like, relax.
It's almost, especially for...
And people were complaining about that when they did her review trailer. Like, they're like, how are you changing Cammy's design?
Yeah.
Like, bro, what? What
in the world?
And you know, I have no problem with. I do.
I'm a dude, that. I like a titty or two.
Yeah,
but you could chill.
The over sexualization after a while, and dude, I don't know because I'm about to bring her up, but I think the only one, excuse me, that's. I'm fine with it being like sexual. Like Bayonetta just does it so well where she's feminine. And you know, there's times where you see her naked because of the whatever, but I don't know what it is about Bayonetta that she really takes the sex appeal, but that's not.
It's not her character.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have to get naked. No, it's just a part of her. Character design. Mm-hmm. Okay. And getting better with it, I remember seeing. Don't get me wrong, I haven't played the last one. I wish soon. But I'm pretty sure they got it better with it.
And she's not naked the whole time. It's just like, what? Like, okay, yeah. They don't have to show. It's like, I remember playing it as a kid, the first one on the PlayStation 3. I was like, whoa. But it. You see that? It's just the way that they did. I don't know the way she represented that. It was like sex appeal, but it was strong sex appeal. Like she's not running around naked. She's not running around with bouncing babas just flailing around. She was strong, a strong female lead with sex appeal, and it's fine to have that sex appeal. But just tying it back to that tweet where. You know, when men or certain men don't find characters interesting just because they're not sexy. And I'm going to bring up, because I saw that it was written out here too.
I'm not going to say one. I know which one you're
talking about. I'll get to the ones that they're not sexualized and they're not strong and then they still call them useless. But I'm going to put Abby from The Last of Us as sort of my next thing where...
And that's what we were referring to in the beginning of the segment. Like, I don't mean to cut you off, but 2 years ago when that game dropped, phenomenal game, by the way. Highly recommend.
I love it.
I don't care what the critics say.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Let your opinion, all right, run wild on, you know, don't listen to these people.
What was your take on Abby and her physique? And, okay, but just spoiler.
Yeah, well, kind of, let's give us a small context of why we're bringing this up. When the game dropped, people had a fit. And I mean a fit.
For two things. Definitely two things.
Two things. We'll say it as we go. But for two things, they had a fit. It was nuts. And one, her physical appearance. Like, what? Why? What's your deal?
To have and curves and just like.
And no. The other one, again, we'll go as we go. They started attacking the voice actress.
The voice actress, yeah.
Why? What is wrong with you people? What's wrong with you, internet? Come on.
Yeah.
Why are you going to attack the person who just doing the voices for this character?
She's doing her job. And she's doing her job.
Really lines off a paper. Like, come on. Like, oh yeah. Okay. Why are you going to attack that person? Like, relax, dude. It's just a game. We do it to enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a feel? I'm about to go on a rant. I'm trying to stop myself here.
So, spoiler alert for the game and for, I guess.
The game is out. I don't want to hear
it. Yeah, and I guess, would you say it's a spoiler for the live action TV show? Because they're going to get into that.
They will get into it. So, if skip a little bit forward, if you want the TV show to be a surprise and you haven't played the game. Because they will do multiple seasons off part two. It is confirmed. So just skip just a little bit.
Yeah.
Minor spoiler. Sorry about this.
Exactly. So everyone got pissed off that she killed Joel. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was one of them. But it wasn't anything of her physique, of how she talked, how she looked, how she acted. They did a damn good job.
It was just for the story.
Yeah, like they did a damn good job of making the player disgusted and just angry. And you wanted to murder this character. Like you wanted Ellie to just go in and go ham on this character. But not only that, because that was a major thing. Everybody was mad that Joel died. That was the big one. I think one of the biggest things that she killed Joel. That's why
I'll never forget. Random. I'll never forget when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
One, I was spoiled, so slightly upset. But when I played it, it was still shocking. Because just the scene of it was wow. And I remember when the game came out. So feel free to look up his video because it was hilarious. So Afro Senju, he's a famous YouTuber. He was playing it.
Oh, yeah.
And he turned off the game. Like, he was like,
Nah, I'm tired.
Hey.
No, don't hate me.
I'm done. He put the remote down. Night, guys. See you in the next stream. And turns off the console and ended the stream. So, Yes, that scene is brutal.
It's hard to watch. It is hard to watch.
I don't know how they're going to do it in a live action. And I feel like, you know, for people who are still tuning in and have skipped forward a little bit, a perfect reference and, like, I guess, analogy of the scene, it's, if you've ever seen The Walking Dead and you saw the scene where Glenn is unfortunately gets his head, you know, into a pile of mush by none other than Negan, that is the perfect picture of that scenario in The Last of Us when Joel kicks a bucket.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's. Part of me was just, wow, this woman beat the shit out of this man. Like,
they went there.
Holy fuck. Just, it was wild. And
I don't mean to cut you off, but like,
yeah,
she has her reasons.
Yeah.
Because we'll mention it now, like, the game puts you in her shoes, in her perspective.
Yeah. Which a lot of people were upset also. That whole, my God, hey, it was a...
I'm not going to get into that.
But I think the point is that, you know, you make a muscular... Dude, even Zarya from Overwatch, which ironically gets more love than Abby, but I think a lot of the hate is not only the appearance, but it's what happens with the character. But, you know, these muscular women that are popping up in video game media, dude, holy shit, just... It's fucking awesome. Like,
because I wrote it down and I kind of didn't want to forget. Like, so Gears of War is a very beloved series to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters, she does a dramatic change throughout the series, is Anya. She's their technician, their tech savvy person over like their comms and like giving them technical advice on like here they're navigating, blah, blah, blah. And as the series progresses, by the beginning of part three, she's a soldier. She's actually joining them on the front lines. So you see this like girl, curvy chick wearing a pencil skirt behind the desk, giving them like technical advice to like on the front lines, mowing down locusts too. So like, not every character's gotta be a damsel in distress, bro. We got strong female leads for a reason.
So, and I kind of want to...
No one has to be quiet for Metal Gear Solid 5. I see you, Kojima. Saw you.
That, oh my God.
Don't play. I saw that. And he tried playing it off. Like,
so, I love quiet, but I had a huge problem. Great. I had a huge problem with that one scene where I know that they were, for the writing purposes, they go, oh, it's because of the... What the fuck was it? That she was, I guess, put the clip where she's in the rain and she's like...
The dancing in the rain scene?
It's just, I understand because I remember...
I understand the symbolism behind it, but yeah, it was like over-exaggerated.
One of our buddies, he's a huge Metal Gear fan, and he was, because he showed me the scene and I watched him play most of the game. And I remember that scene coming up and I just looked at him. I felt uncomfortable, but it's not because of the scene. Why? I want to ask Kojima, why were there certain zoom ins? I know why, but I'm asking why.
We know, but he tried playing it off.
It like, made me uncomfortable.
It was to sell more quiet products. And he's like, I never said that. You just said it like three interviews ago. Like, we see you. Like, don't play stupid. Bro. Kojima, I love your work, but I see you. Don't play.
That's one of the over-sexualizations that made me so uncomfortable. I remember our friend was trying to explain it and I'm listening to it and I go, dude, I get that, but it still makes me, like, if you show this to anybody that it's like out of context, they would do, bro, the porn 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just what the fuck's happening? If
you get out of context, I'm like, what? What did you just show me, buddy?
Before we get into, because I have not a rant, but an answer to this question, even characters that they're sort of in the background, but then they come into the foreground, and then
Anya is like one of those that I just brought up. Yeah,
the way that I'm just gonna bring her up because I love the series, and I ended up loving the character as I played through each of the games. Like Kairi from Kingdom Hearts is another example of she's not over sexualized. She's
a child first, so I would be questioning certain people.
Yeah, thank God she's not overly sexualized. She's very much a huge background character, and you know, especially on Kingdom Hearts, a lot of people don't like her because she's either annoying or she doesn't have, where a lot of people argue, even in Kingdom Hearts 3, she doesn't have a lot of development.
She is a damsel in distress in the first game. It's funny enough we brought that up like earlier.
Yeah.
And then she becomes a prominent like character in the last game. Well, not even. I would even go as far as, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
Like, she's a main, like, one of the keys, like, quite literally a key for the final battle. And she gets a game that she's the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny because even I feel it. I feel it, and I hate feeling this way because Remind helps a little bit with this problem, because even through everything in Kingdom Hearts 3, I feel like Kairi has not reached her potential, and it's so frustrating because I feel her writing could be so much better. Remind kind of helps with the fact that, bitch, you have a Keyblade, fucking do something. Even sometimes I think about it, I go, bro, you have this weapon, why are you not using it? Like, look at Aqua, for the love of fuck, look at Shion.
Yeah, like, she's great character.
You see those three characters, and they're women. Even, bro, I can't believe I'm even saying this. Even Naminé had a like, for me, she doesn't even have a, that's her nobody, dude. She doesn't even have a fucking Keyblade.
Don't kill me. I'm sorry. I'm laughing for our watchers. I'm sorry.
I just, dude.
You don't understand the joke behind that.
Like, she realizes what being a human is and having a heart, and what she realizes is wrong. It's just, it's very quick, unfortunately.
I'm gonna laugh. I'm sorry.
Dude, it's just, out of the three Keyblade wielders that are women and they have the fucking Keyblade, she's so useless. Like, not useless, but dude, I feel her potential is being dragged through the mud. That's another thing that also is just so sad with these characters that just.
Do you think it's because, I might be like throwing this out in the wind, honestly. Do you think it's because, I can't believe I'm going to say it like this. It's because the writer can't put themselves in those shoes. Yo, I feel like I'm going to get killed for this, but I asked it anyways. Do you think it's because the writer can't? Obviously, there's more than one writer.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think?
So,
I feel like I just opened a can of worms.
I'm only losing my words, and I'm tripping on my words because it's my boo-boo is the one. I'm talking about Kingdom Hearts. Like,
that's why I said it. I'm being honest. That's why I said it.
But it's so... I feel it's so easy, and I think it's both, man. I think it's just they can't put themselves in the shoes of a woman. It's so frustrating, bro. Oh my god. And I'm just gonna say this as an example, because it's two games back to back. You have Final Fantasy 15 and then you have Final Fantasy 16. I'm just saying this because it's Square Enix and it's kind of in the same umbrella.
God.
Luna Freya was the most useless fucking character that was a woman that I've ever seen. She frustrated me. And I have more of a hate because of something else. But you compare Jill. I know you haven't played the game, but you'll see. It's like you have Jill and then you have Luna Freya. The difference in their writing.
I was about to go on a rant. I had to stop myself so bad. I just talked about this the other day with my brother about 15 and about like learning about the canceled DLCs and what those DLCs were supposed to do. And I'm just like,
oh yeah, me and Gabe talked about that too. But I can't stand that character. I don't think any form of DLC will want me to like her. I just, oh my God.
Well, I think that's why they which is actually perfect for this. I think that's why they wrote the novel, to try to kind of like, you know, hey, she is a decent character. Just have to read the novel.
I think you were going to say what I was going to say, because this is the quick next segment of what we're talking about. So the evolution of women in video games from background characters to lead characters. So I have a perfect example for this for me. because I think I told you, or many people who know me, and I think I've said this already in the podcast before, I've never identified as a woman until recently, and only because it was very hard for me to relate to women, just because the way I dressed, the way I acted. Pokemon is a prime example. I'd always pick the boy character. I just hated my own skin, and I guess I hated what I was. I didn't want to be seen as a woman. And I think my pivotal point of where I was starting to understand myself, and I was starting to understand it's okay. It's amazing to be a woman, actually. I think the prime character that everyone knows that I'm about to say is in Final Fantasy 13. There was the Crystallium Novus collection. It was going to be these games, which obviously I'm not going to go on with this, but it was Type Zero versus 13 in Final Fantasy 13. They were all going to be in the same world and they were going to have a connection and yada, yada, yada. My point is that I was very excited for Versus 13, which, for those who don't know, it ended up being developed into a different name, which was Final Fantasy 15. But I was just, you know, it had been a while since the last Final Fantasy. I played 12, I didn't like it, but 10. So 10 was my last Final Fantasy that I had played, obviously, on the PlayStation. And I was so excited to be playing another male lead. And it just, the whole aesthetic was, mwah, I was obsessed. So fast forward, it ends up being delayed, of course, a million times. And obviously we didn't get it until 2016. But the point that I'm making is that I was so upset because around this time, Final Fantasy 13 was coming out. And I was in high school at this point. I believe I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore or a junior. I can't remember now. But it ends up releasing. And I thought to myself, man, I have to play this fucking game because I know it's going to tie in with Versus 13. I'm like, fine, I'm going to buy it. And I buy it. And I remember that whole week of the release. I was talking shit. I was like, God. And you can edit lightning somewhere around here. But the main character on the box art, I was ranting to all my friends that, dude, it's going to be a piece of shit because it has a female lead and blah, 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 blah.
I was looking. That's why I was looking now. We got it worldwide 2010.
Yeah.
Bank got it in 2009.
I was a sophomore.
We were in high school. I was a junior.
Yeah, I was a sophomore. So, not to drag on, but long story short, I pop the game in. I buy the game, and those first 20 minutes of the game, I could not put this game down. I got it on a school night. I was supposed to be asleep, I think, by 10 or 11 or something like that. And I was playing until 1 in the morning. I could not put this game down for other reasons. But me, myself, and I've played a lot of video games as a kid because that was the only thing I could do. Because I mentioned it before, as a woman, my brother would go outside and play basketball by himself and ride his bike and go to the mall. I was not allowed to do that. I was very much a homebody. I would read books. I would play action figures and the video
nerd.
Nerd.
My mom wants me to become an orphan.
Nerd.
You know, I would play Chinese checkers and board games with my grandmother, but my real pastime was video games. And so I played a lot. I played a lot of video games. And no matter how much I played, I still hated picking a female character. Because I could be wrong on how I'm reading this. Maybe a therapist is hearing this podcast and maybe can give me an answer. I would see these characters and I just could not relate to them. The female ones, at least. And I felt, I saw myself in them, and maybe that's why I was so resentful towards those type of characters, hence why I would immediately just pick the male characters, and I would relate and want to cosplay and roleplay and blah blah blah. But Lightning was the first female lead, at least that, and I'm not counting people like Samus, because that's part of also this conversation where everybody thought it was a male because
the she's thing so is, strong. Sam, yeah, and not only that, she was covered, like she had a helmet. Mm-hmm. It was very rare to kind of know who that was.
Personally, my headcanon, I think, I don't know when maybe they revealed that she was a woman, but remember, they were thinking it's a man because, dude, she's so strong and jumping and all him, because they would say him. Same thing with Master Chief. Obviously, Master Chief, they kind of hint that it's a man, but you would automatically assume someone covered in that armor, oh, it's a man. Same thing with Samus. You automatically assume it's a man. And maybe I just didn't play the right games, but all the female characters that I saw and looked, they were not, I don't know, did not relate to me. But Lightning was
the thing is, like,
female character for me that I enjoyed being in my own skin.
Growing up, a lot of those games that, well, you and me, revolved about having a lot of male leads. It was very rare if you saw a female lead. It was like dime a dozen. So for you to go through that, obviously, I'm me, you.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough because, again, like, you're seeing the world around you and these games that we're loving, it just male lead. And it just dazzles the stress. There's no
You said it. And it's, remember that back then, now it's a whole other ball game. But back then it was male heavy. People automatically thought if you play video games, you're male. You cannot play video games as a woman. There's no way.
The joke, it comes out still now, but you hear it more back in the Xbox Live era days when they first started coming out. Like, you're a girl, you're playing games? Like,
happened to me.
Girls, women could not speak on that mic. If a woman spoke on a mic around that era, oh man.
Get ready.
I got stories for you.
Dude, let me tell you, the friend requests. You would get so many friend requests. Dude.
Can we play together? Like,
can we play
Sue me. Sue me, you thousand nerds. But I like, again, you can pick the diamond dozen. You had Jill from Resident Evil.
Oh yeah.
You had Samus when we found out she was finally a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had Tifa. Tifa was a supporting character, so I technically still considered her as a good role. And then as time progressed, we started getting Lightning, we started getting Bayonetta.
And around that time, I feel
Chun-Li, Cammy, but like those were Lara Croft, I'm gonna forget. Like, but those, again, those were the diamond dozens. Now we have Aloy, which is popularized Horizon, like now. So,
oh yeah, and then you have the, I'm not gonna name all of them, but the female leads from Life is Strange. And now it's crazy how
we have Ellie, like, come on.
Mm-hmm. All these characters, or a bunch of characters that were in the background, and maybe if they were sort of main characters, their male counterparts would just almost overshadow them. And because obviously you bring up the ones that were I'm not saying it's bad, but you know, like Lara Croft and stuff, that they were very over-sexualized. I think the era of the 2010s, I want to say, because that's when Final Fantasy 13 came out.
Yeah.
I had noticed around this era, because that's, you know, Mass Effect, where you have a bunch of incredible
female you play female Shepard, puts you in the role of, here's your character. You create your adventure. Like, we started seeing more of that.
I think
Skyrim, you could have made your own character, like
it boomed. Like, just female characters as leads were such a concept, and they go, oh my god, like, this works. That and I'm not saying, you know, you can sit here, and I know I'm wrong, but I know people will tell me and say, well, Lightning is not the one that paved the way for, because the thing about Lightning is that she's not over sexualized, but she's in that Jill spectrum, because she's not And you could put, same thing, put a clip of her. She's not over-sexualized.
I forgot Claire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Claire. Yeah. Like, she's not over-sexualized, but she's so strong. But she's not, obviously, like Abby either. She's, you see her, she's a twig, and you're thinking.
She's like, yeah, she's like, she's not skinny. She's not heavy, overly muscular. She's fit. Mm-hmm. Fit.
I guess that's the word for it. For me, because I wasn't a big fan of not saying that she's not a bad character, but I didn't relate to Yuna in Final Fantasy X. And again, 12, I wasn't a fan of. So I love Tifa. Tifa was like my first female crush. I love her to death. But you see Tifa, how she's dressed. And then you see Lightning. I was used to just over-sexualized characters or like nothing, or just in a little dress and stuff like that. So seeing, again, I'm not saying she's the reason why we're here today, but for me, she's the reason why I'm here and why I'm the way I am. And she, I feel, we don't know what our lives could have been. You know how you have those what ifs, what if I did this? What if I did that? And
right.
I don't think I've had that in the back of my mind or I've ever thought about it, but there was a time, and maybe there's occasional days where I think about it, not in a bad way, but if I'm not going to say she saved me, but I'm wondering if I never found Lightning, what I would have.
Hey, yeah. You ever wonder why we're here? It's one of life's great mysteries, isn't it? Why are we here? I mean, are we the product of some cosmic coincidence, or is there really a God watching everything, with a plan for us and stuff? I don't know, man, but it keeps me up at night. What?
And, like, would I still be resentful of myself? Of me seeing myself in all these female characters. I don't know. I don't know where I would be. I feel it would be a very dark place. It sounds stupid coming from someone who's taking this from a fictional character and does not exist, but she really, really, I the only words I say is that she saved my life, because she saved me as a female. Yeah.
I wouldn't say
for whatever reason.
Yeah. We didn't mean to, but we think it's important to, talk about things like this. Again, it's not stupid. It really isn't. Like, how many people have said throughout many days, many years, like, hey, this show, these shows have literally done so much for me, have, like, yeah, got me out of a dark place, or, like, hey, man, like, or it's giving me inspiration.
Yeah.
No, it's not wrong to say that. Like, oh, no, I shouldn't be saying that it got me through a tough time. No, absolutely not. We're telling you, like, yes, embrace that thing that made you or helped you to make who you are and, like, who you became, like. And it doesn't only have to be, like, socially or the things around you. It can be, like, physical, literature. Oh, I hit my mic. Literature, games, like, media. Things can help you change as a person as well.
And grow.
Grow. This is actually perfect. What makes you, or how would I say, is what do you see is the perfect, no, I wouldn't even say perfect, is a great, strong, and interesting female lead. What is, like, how, what is your envision of a strong character female lead? And we can even broaden this. We don't have to stay, like, in the spectrum of video games. We can even go as far as, like, anime, because we've seen it before. We can go into media, like TVs and movies. What is your take on it?
No, I'll give some examples, and they're all very much different, because you would think, but she is, I would say she is, but what I really like about Lightning, just because, just to pop off of video games, then I'll jump into anime too, because I had posted on my Instagram something very, I think, a very hot take. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's two spectrums, you know, and it's okay to have both. You can have the gruff, strong, there's no other way to say it, but tsundere, very lone wolf character. That's what Lightning is, because she builds up these walls, at least in the beginning of the game, she builds up these walls and she's very strong. Like, not physically, but just mentally. She is a soldier. She is there to do her fucking job. Like, that is all she cares about, is the job, and that's it. Not even her life. The job is what she wants to do. Obviously for other reasons besides her family, but she has just this strong demeanor, and nothing can bring this woman down. It's just very hard. And I think there's a couple scenes in the game where she develops into, and this is why I relate to her so much, because it's almost she's embracing her femininity, and she's just lowering those walls because she doesn't have to be on par with, this is what I'm thinking, because there is a novel of the game too, but what I'm seeing it through Lightning's eyes is that she's a soldier, right? She's a woman. There's a lot of women soldiers in at least in the game and in real life. Let's just, you know, it's predominantly men. And seeing this woman, she has to be tough. She has to be strong because of the men around her.
Right.
And for her to just let go of, like, those walls, and for her to get emotional, like, that for me is peak. And I think it also goes with the reverse, where this is where I'll put Jill, or I'll even put Uraraka from My Hero Academia. You know, she's not a very tough, fighty person, but she embraces her femininity, and she, which goes into, you know, her whole thing of who saves the hero, you know, like, someone needs to save the hero saves the people, who's going to save the hero?
Right.
And where it kind of goes with Jill is not from Resident Evil, but from Final Fantasy 16. She embraces her feminine. They use their femininity to help others, and that's what makes them who they are. And they can be a woman, and they're not afraid to show it. Like, they embrace that feminine side, and they're strong as hell. They don't have to be like Lightning that has to hide everything and try to be manly. They're women, and they empower that. And, you know, you can dress girly and like girly things. Where the whole thing of this is that my post was, you know, you can have strong female leads, but you can have the wanting to be saved by a prince and damsel in distress. But at least for the damsel, and the same thing for the ones who are just have this wall, write them interesting, like, make them relatable, not only for the plot and to be entertaining, but just have them embrace who they are. Whether they want to be manly or feminine or no pronouns, they, them, maybe they just want to embrace who they are. And I think that's what makes a strong female character. I think I'm going all over the place, but whether they're just feminine or masculine, they embrace who they are, and they don't mind going the opposite way or staying how they are. They just embrace who they are, and they embrace their masculinity, their femininity, and they use that to their advantage and to help people.
Yeah, like, I feel that obviously this is the way I see it. Like, you know what? I'll go ahead and use this. The Tomb Raider reboot.
Oh.
I love that trilogy. The third one dipped a bit. But
yeah.
Regardless of that. I feel that is like cherry on top, chef's kiss. This is a strong female lead.
She's great.
I'm not bashing every other female character that's out there. Mm-hmm. I enjoy those games. I love Horizon. I love Resident Evil Jill. Like, Lightning has become a prominent, like, game as well. I played it. I enjoyed it. But my ideal is the reboot Tomb Raider, Lara Croft.
Yeah, I love her a lot too.
They roll her chef's kiss. I swear to you. like she wants to be in an archaeologist and a treasure hunter and so on and so forth, but she wants to follow in her footsteps and
do it her way.
And showing like, hey, I can fucking do it too. I don't have to be a fucking dude. I can go out there, get fucking dirty, get stabbed to death, like being thrown in the mud and crawl and shit, and then you get to my goal from where I want. Like, that to me is the pinnacle of strong female writing. Like, that right there, and the character development that it shows throughout all three games is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah. Part 2 is my favorite game of the series, out of that one.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's great, because it shows her from, like, I am trapped here. I am fucking in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And guess what? She Bear Grylls that shit. Like, she Bear Grylls that thing. And that even goes back as part 1. Part 1, they're stranded on an island. One of her closest friends, is like the more girly one. She's the more tomboyish one.
Yeah.
Like, it shows, like, hey, like, I can be you too, but I can also be this. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is like top-notch writing. If you can write a character like that, you're solid. You're absolutely solid.
And you know what you just said, because I'll bring in, because we were talking about Star Wars, Marin, mm-hmm. which is the main.
Oh my god! How can we forget Ahsoka?
Oh, Ahsoka too. like Marin is such a perfect, and I'm not gonna say she's a perfect female lead, but she's mm-hmm. a perfect supporting lead for Cal, because the bantering is great. Like, I think it's not only the writing. It is the writing, but how the characters play with one another.
They bounce off each other.
They're banter.
Like, if they're not like an object, they're like, oh, hey, I see myself in this person. There is actual, like, people having conversations.
There's so many times, especially because, I had said, they all split, and he hasn't seen Marin and the others in years. And so it's been a long time since he sees her. And it's so funny, the level where you see her again. You know, Cal has a crush through the whole game, and even the last game, they have this. There's this tension. There's this fling. That they're between both of them, but mostly Cal. And what made me laugh and just made me smile was when Cal, like, they're fighting and he goes, oh, wait, like, there's points in the dialogue where you're playing as well. Like, you'll be playing and, you know, killing people or whatever, the stormtroopers. And she will save his ass. Like, the whole time you're playing, she is saving your ass as you're going. And she'll do like a remark like, oh, what happened, Jedi? Are your force tricks not working today? Are you not? Are you awake? Are you asleep? You know, he goes, man, have I been improving and you've been slacking? You know, Cal doesn't, like, he's not shocked at all. Mm-hmm. That's why I love, like, how they support each other, because he's just, I think he even says something where he goes, he's so proud and so happy that she's gotten stronger. He even, like, he'll be like, oh no, I'm still stronger than you. And she's like, yeah, yeah. There's points where she uses her powers and he goes, dude, he goes, you're incredible. You're amazing. You are so much stronger than I am. And he says it out loud to her and to the player. And I had to stop. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is... was like, that is the sweetest and most incredible, not because it's a man to a woman, but it's just a genuine friend just telling his best friend, you're incredible. And yeah, I think when you have a great supporting female with, like, the male lead, I think that's great too. I think she's such a good supporting female lead. You mentioned Ahsoka too, where Ahsoka, I mean, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, yeah. She has, like, years of just, like, build up. Like, we can't really. That's like an episode on his own.
Yeah.
That's a
film behemoth.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything you want to add that we haven't touched on?
Oh my god, there's so many characters, because I have these pops next to me.
Reference.
I go, holy shit. Spider-Gwen, wow. And, you know, it's you mentioned it in the beginning of the segment that it's not just in video games. We're seeing a boom in everything, in every form of media. And just to circle back one last time to the Twitter post that made me want to talk about everything in this episode, those female characters are not going to go away. No matter how mad you get, these female leads, whether they're like Jill or not, or just women, female leads in general, dude, I'm sorry, stay mad. Stay mad, and we're just going to flourish. And the men who support women like that, you guys are the real heroes. Like, you guys, like, thank you for buying products made by females and just supporting female characters. And you said it. It's crazy how important it is to talk about stuff like that.
Absolutely. Shouldn't be something like, hey, you just put it in the back burner. It should be like something that is brought up to light. And I'm not saying that this is going to solve fucking world hunger. I'm like, yeah. Relax.
Yeah, but like, yeah.
I don't want to repeat myself. Like, it's something that should be talked about more frequently. And when it is talked about, it's freaking bashed. It shouldn't be. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So again, I think we're going to end it here.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We are happy that you were spend the night with us. I'm saying this because it's like midnight outside.
Yeah. But
we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we're happy that we actually talked about this because, again, super important topic. It should be talked about more often. And if you guys have any thoughts about it,
please comment below on our YouTube channel. Have discussions. Again, we have a link tree. Please follow us on all our socials. You can even DM us on Twitter or Instagram.
Absolutely. We'll answer.
Yeah.
Hit up the Discord too.
Yes, please.
You want to talk about it in the Discord, man.
Have all these discussions on our Discord. Please, I know I'm cutting a little forward, but please subscribe to the YouTube channel to see and catch up with all the latest episodes, see our previous episodes. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're the Two Auto Tacos on all our socials. So we'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, if you have any, ideas or topics you want us to talk about again, feel free to hit us up, man. We are open to it. Don't forget to hit that little bell, man.
You remember when some
spicy
follow.
Stuff drops. Right? We are
notifications on.
Yes, hit that bell, right? We are the Two Out of Tacos, and we're so happy you guys spend the time with us. We will catch you on the next one. I am your host, Maz. With me, like always, my partner in crime,
Zeffy. Good night, y'all.
Later.